PRI, Public Radio International.
Welcome to Heinz Hall for the Performing Arts in downtown Pittsburgh. As music director Manfred Honeck and the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra begin a Mozart festival. I'm Jim Cunningham. You'll hear Mozart's serenade, Eine kleine Nachtmusik, his piano concerto No. 20 in D minor featuring Robert Levin, the world premiere of Levin's new completion of Mozart's Horn Concerto No. 1 showcasing Pittsburgh Symphony Principal Horn William Caballero, and Mozart's final symphony, No. 41, the monumental Jupiter Symphony. There's also an audience participation Mozart surprise somewhere in the middle, so don't touch that dial. Pittsburgh Symphony Radio is made possible by Pittsburgh residents Pat and Michelle Atkins, who underwrite in honor of Carlo University, Pittsburgh, with additional support by the Jack Buncher Foundation and the musicians of the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. We'll hear a few words from Principal Horn William Caballero and Maestro Manfred Honeck, plus a few minutes of my conversation with Robert Levin, one of the world's leading musicologists who's made a career of preparing items from Mozart's sketchbooks for their first public performances. One of Mozart's best-known and most loved works is the Serenade No. 13 in G, Eine kleine Nachtmusik, literally a little night music. The music is easy to enjoy, but there are several mysteries lurking in the background of this breezy, melodic serenade. Why did Mozart compose Eine kleine Nachtmusik? There's no evidence that anyone hired him to write it, nor any record of a performance in his lifetime. Why would Mozart stop working on his opera Don Giovanni to write a fairly uncomplicated serenade for strings, a throwback to the outmoded gallant style and to the serenades, essentially hearty music, that Mozart wrote in his early career? And whatever became of Eine kleine Nachtmusik's missing minuet, one of two minuets listed on the title page? Here is Manfred Honeck to open this Pittsburgh Symphony Mozart Festival with Eine kleine Nachtmusik, the Serenade No. 13 for strings in G major.
Thank you.
Manfred Honeck conducted the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. You heard Eine kleine Nachtmusik, a little night music, the Serenade No. 13 in G by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. Mozart was born on the 27th of January, 1756, in Salzburg. He died in Vienna on the 5th of December, 1791. Former Pittsburgh Symphony Music Director William Steinberg recorded Eine kleine Nachtmusik in 1958 for the Capitol label. Among the many Pittsburgh Symphony conductors of Eine kleine Nachtmusik have been music director Fritz Reiner, who led the serenade on the 18th of November, 1938 at the Syria Mosque in Pittsburgh. You're listening to a Mozart Festival from Pittsburgh Symphony Radio. I'm Jim Cunningham. Robert Levin joins the orchestra for the Concerto in D Minor No. 20, Kerschel 466. Pianist Robert Levin teaches at Harvard. He is a noted Mozartian, a musicologist, and a pianist who studied with composer Stefan Volpe in New York. He worked with Nadia Boulanger in Paris while still in high school. Then he went on to Harvard. He was invited by Rudolf Serkin to head the theory department of the Curtis Institute of Music, a post he left after 5 years to take up a professorship at the School of the Arts, State University of New York at Purchase, outside of New York City. Robert Levin's completions of Mozart fragments have been published by Baehrenreiter, Breitkopf & Härtel, Hensler, and Peters. We'll hear a Robert Levin completion in just a few minutes with Mozart's first horn concerto, but coming up next, the 20th concerto by Mozart.
Well, being in D minor means that it's in what for Mozart and for many other composers of that period was the demonic key. D minor was the key of the devil, and therefore it's not surprising that Mozart uses it for Don Giovanni, and therefore one kind of smells the sulfur in the Mozart D minor concerto. It's a piece of great violence and of great drama, and is a real watershed for him. He only wrote two concertos in the minor mode in his entire life, and I think our audiences need to think about the fact that what Mozart was doing was writing these concertos as a vehicle for his own razzmatazz subscription concerts, which usually took place during Lent when the theaters were closed. And so their main purpose was to entertain. They were charismatic. He was there improvising. He was there playing. He was there composing, the triple threat, as Hollywood would call him. And he was above all revered for his improvisations, admired for being surely the greatest keyboard player of his age. And then there was his music, which most people thought was pretty good, but sometimes it was a little bit complicated. And so the idea that you're going into a concert where what you're supposed to do is give a variety show, and what you're doing is writing this antisocial, dramatic, somber piece, it might seem on the surface not necessarily the way to provide people with a cotton candy evening in the theater. So it was very, very bold of Mozart, I think, to have chosen to, at the top of his fame, to have chosen to write a concerto in this explosive key of D minor.
Robert Levin joining Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra music director Manfred Honeck for the 20th concerto by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
There'll be a few things in this concerto which are a little bit unusual. If you know these pieces from other live performances or from CDs, usually the soloist sits with hands in the lap and looks very reverent while the orchestra plays the introduction. You'll see that I'll be busking along, playing little things here and there, and you'll wonder why I'm doing that. It's because Mozart actually tells you to do that. The cadenzas will be improvised, so hold on to your hats. And there'll be some decorations here and there, especially in the second movement. Now, after intermission, there's going to be a fantasy in the style of Mozart improvised by me. Well, how are you going to know that I'm not faking? Ah, I thought you would think about that, and so here's the solution. The solution is that you, dear ladies and gentlemen, are going to write the tunes that I'm going to use. So outside in the foyer, you'll find little slips of paper and pencils. Will you please direct yourself to these ushers who will give you the slips of paper. There's a place to write your name. Don't worry about that. It's not threatening. There's room to write two measures of music, either in the style of Mozart or actually by Mozart or Haydn or one of his contemporaries. That's up to you. And you will put them into a receptacle at the end of the intermission. I'll appear on stage, the usher will bring the receptacle, and I will pull the tunes out and play them for you. And the first two or three tunes that I get that seem promising will be the subject of the fantasy. So it's something that will unite us together.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
The Concerto No. 20 in D minor by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. It was played by the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra and pianist Robert Levin, with music director Manfred Honeck conducting. The 20th concerto was heard at the Syria Mosque in Pittsburgh on the 18th of April, 1947, with Pittsburgh Symphony pianist Walter Händel as the soloist and Fritz Reiner conducting. Walter Händel went on to be the music director of the Erie Philharmonic Orchestra. Walter Händel also served as music director of the Dallas Symphony Orchestra and the Chautauqua Symphony Orchestra. He directed the Eastman School of Music, and he served as associate conductor under Fritz Reiner with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. Our soloist was the musicologist, author, and Harvard professor Robert Levin.
The D minor concerto was a piece that Beethoven not only found fascinating, but played repeatedly. And some years afterwards, he wrote cadenzas for it, cadenzas that are played by a large number of soloists, although I don't do so. You couldn't have played those cadenzas on the piano for which Mozart wrote his concerto, because Mozart's piano was limited to 5 octaves, and by the time Beethoven wrote that cadenza, the piano, growing by leaps and bounds during his lifetime, like computers nowadays, offered him a range that was much, much greater. So from a puristic point of view, it just wouldn't fit.
There's a happy ending, yes?
It does. It does have a happy ending, just the way Don Giovanni has a happy ending. And it's interesting to compare that with the C minor concerto, which does not have a happy ending. You go to the gallows, and that's the end of it. But God comes down in a machine in the D major, and suddenly you hear that wonderful little tune, that catchy peasant tune that comes back and announces to all of us that we've been saved, and then we go out and party. So that's perfectly fine. It reminds me a little bit of that old movie Never on Sunday with Melina Mercury, remember, in which she said that at the end of all these Greek tragedies, somehow everyone went out to the seashore and celebrated, which isn't quite the way it turned out. But in the case of the Mozart D minor concerto, everybody does go out and party.
Still to come on this broadcast, Robert Levin will improvise in the style of Mozart. We'll hear Pittsburgh Symphony Principal Horn William Caballero play Mozart's Horn Concerto No. 1 in the world premiere of Robert Levin's new completion of Mozart's unfinished score. And Manfred Honeck will conduct Mozart's Jupiter Symphony No. 41. Jim Cunningham with you for the Mozart Festival from Heinz Hall. Jim Wilkinson is the president and CEO of the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. Resident conductors are Lawrence Lowe and Fawzi Haymore. Pittsburgh Symphony is always on the air on the Pittsburgh Concert Channel from the WQEDFM.org website. You can hear archived concerts from Pittsburgh Symphony Radio on demand anytime at WQEDFM.org. I hope you'll write. I'd love to hear from you. I'd like to send you a free souvenir from Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh Symphony Program Reading Light. It will fit in your wallet. It's in the shape of a credit card, and it's just right for reading concert programs in low light. It magnifies small print. Get one free while they last with the Radio Guide, a complete list of concerts in the series, photographs of some of the musicians you'll hear on Pittsburgh Symphony Radio, and much more. There's a Pittsburgh Symphony history and a biography of Manfred Honeck. It's all free right to Pittsburgh Symphony Radio. 4802 Fifth Avenue, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15213. Our program is made possible by Pittsburgh residents Pat and Michelle Atkins, who've underwritten in honor of Carlo University, Pittsburgh, with additional support by the Jack Buncher Foundation and the musicians of the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. Pittsburgh Symphony Radio is heard on PRI, Public Radio International.